Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this October the 13th on the West Coast, and now October the 14th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. So nice to have you with us this evening, and I want to also say hello to all the folks out there who are listening on Wind Talkers Radio Network, either live or in an archive, as well as blogtalkradio.com. Well, it's been an interesting start to the week. A lot of people are complaining their banks are closed or have been closed, and they're upgrading computer software, and they're having trouble getting into their accounts. It's an indication of the games that are being played. That's about all I can say on that right now, except that while that's going on, and while the international financial circle is in an upheaval because of all the corruption that's going on, we're talking about the trillions being stolen from the Federal Reserve, the U.S. Treasury, and all the infrastructure that supports that and feeds that. We also have some Michelle Obama dolls that are coming out. This was actually on a news program this afternoon where they were talking about you can buy these three dolls. One is wearing a white and black dress. It's got a very strange pattern on it. Then one is like a violet color. I think it's the Barack and Michelle reveal reptilian baggage in London airport dress. And then one dress described as a red and black dress, although specifically it represents the underbelly of a female black widow spider. There's no doubt about that, and they just call it a red and black dress. It's amazing how they cover up the symbology of the those that worship Satan and practice all sorts of black rituals, including sacrifices. And it's just amazing that they have to build up all these people. I suppose soon we'll see the kids on wagons and riding horses and all kinds of toys that they try to ingrain these images in the subconscious of children and adults alike. It's sickening what's going on. Last night's show, I did about an hour's monologue on the real Barack Obama, Barry Satoru, or Barry Rockefeller, if you want to call him that. And we were joined by a gentleman who has a great website, a great research site. His name is Ken Adachi, and the site is educate-yourself.org. And he happens to be our scheduled guest for this evening. But we talked about a lot of things, and we got into the aspect of who pulls the strings ultimately on planet Earth, and I have a feeling we're going to talk about that some more tonight, because if you look at the chaos that's going on all over the world, and you look at the stranglehold that seems to be loosening its grip, though they're trying to squeeze tighter and tighter, everything's falling apart. And they didn't count on that. They didn't count on a certain number of people waking up, and I'm pretty convinced that those that are still asleep are going to remain asleep, and this is all going to fly by them. So tonight's guest is that gentleman who has that website I just referred to, and his name is Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Don. It's a pleasure to be on with you again.
I know... between you know, these dolls we're talking about and the Nobel Pizza Prize that just came out of nowhere, I'm sure you would agree that things are pretty crazy around the world.
It is interesting to see just how desperate the Illuminati is in attempting to prop up Obama. I just was reading something today on the internet concerning the Peace Prize, and it seems that most of the major newspapers around the world, you know, mainstream media organs that usually support the Illuminati party line, you know, for propaganda and subterfuge and all that, they're all, you know, just berating the Nobel Committee for choosing Obama, because obviously, clearly, he's not deserving of it. So that it's, you know, it's obvious to everyone that it's strictly a political maneuver. And I think, you know, the Nobel group, the selection committee, is going to really take a huge hit to their reputation. If you remember a few years ago, again, for purely political reasons, the Illuminati, I suppose the Rothschild makes this decision, gave the, quote, Peace Prize to Al Gore. They wanted to elevate him, his stature, so they got their people in Hollywood to give him an award. I forget what award, maybe it was an Emmy or something, for that ridiculous propaganda piece that he did outlining the global warming hoax. And then I think it was the same year he got the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, that's what the Illuminati does. They're big on prizes and awards as a way to artificially pump up the reputation of whoever it is they're backing, so that they're suddenly held in high esteem because they're the Nobel Prize winner, or they received an Emmy or whatever the award that Hollywood gave them. Oscar, I'm not sure. I just can't remember which one it was, but it's a game.
Well, and it's kind of disappointing when I think of Albert Schweitzer, Dr. Albert Schweitzer, because he was a pretty good organist. You know, I had a lot of respect for him, and now you just let the air out of my balloon. No, I agree with you. Go ahead. I just had to make that comment.
So anyway, so this is apparently not working for them. I guess they assumed it would be, let's say, smooth over in the same way Gore's award was smooth over. I think they expected a similar, you know, a little bit of difficulty when they first announced it. And then people would say, well, okay, you know, and let it go. But they, of course, went too far. I mean, it's like giving the Peace Prize to Adolf Hitler in 1939, you know, on August 31 of 1939, you know. It's just insane. So I think the whole group has suffered a tremendous loss to their prestige as a result of this of this move. So, you know, and any time something like that is done in falsity, you know, it's everything's wrong. The recipient is wrong. The reasons are wrong. Everyone knows it's false. It leaves a stale taste in everyone's mouth. And yet, there's no way to recover from it. Not really. I mean, this guy is going to want to distance himself from the, you know, I think from any mention of this as the years go by, assuming he does have years to experience in the future.
Well, you remember a story that came out just after he got into the White House about ordering a pizza from a guy in St. Louis, and he flew this guy to the White House, and I think the pizza cost something like $876 or something like that. So I think we could save him. We could give him a little bit of breathing room and call this the No Bell Pepper Pizza Surprise. And then that's all I can think of. I mean, where's the peace, you know?
Well, then, they're wasting money, like, you know.
Oh, I mean, they're making water with the money. I mean, from Gulliver's Travels.
Yeah. Right. You know? Really remarkable. Drew Raines, a show I guess you did with him in September. I happened to hear the archive a few days ago. And he was pointing out the tremendous amount of money they're squandering. You know, Nancy Pelosi, instead of, you know, getting on a commercial airliner, has got to cause the taxpayers to pay, you know, for her entourage to fly back to her home every weekend, costing $44,000 in each direction, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is, you know, him and the wife and spending taxpayers' money, like, you know, like, oh my God, it's outrageous. It's outrageous.
Well, they're making this money out of thin air. This is the real thing to consider, is that that money doesn't even exist. It's not backed by anything, and they're just intending to continue to rape the economy and to strip people of their private property, as if they really have a right to do this. You know, they're on the verge of something very, very revealing being disclosed to the public about 9/11 and some other issues. I mean, this is a chip that the good guys have had up their sleeve for some time, and it's getting to a point now where that information is going to be released. Could happen within the next few days.
Wow, that would be very interesting.
And I assure you that when they pull these stunts like they did on the moon, you know, I didn't have the opportunity to see that moon crash landing that they planned.
Yes.
Under the guise of finding water, but I'll tell you that it had nothing to do with finding water on the moon. They're up there, and they know exactly what's on the moon. I think that experiment went bad. And they had to act as though it was a success in terms of the media. And yet some people who have seen the video have told me that it turns out that it didn't look like it worked out, wasn't successful.
Actually, that's what I was hoping would be the case. When I heard about that, you know, that they were proposing this, it occurred to me that if enough people just think about thwarting that, have that not work, you know, have the equipment not work, and to prevent that from coming off, that would be a desirable thing. I didn't mention it. I didn't say anything on my website, but I held that thought. So I'm wondering if many other people did something similar.
Well, there's I saw a link to it. I can't remember where I saw it, if it was on Rents.com or 4winds.com, 4winds10.com. Mm-hmm. But the video was posted, and the title implied that there was something really strange at the end of the video. And I think it was this reaction of a military officer that looked disgusted about it. So in any event, we'll get to the bottom of it. We'll find out what happened.
Yeah.
Sure. As we always do.
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, I encourage such thoughts among people in the military, particularly people higher up in the military who are hopefully coming to realize the extent of the betrayal and treason that we're experiencing in the country now. And I'm hoping that more and more of them will understand that in order to save the United States, to save the Republic, to save the people, to save our country, they cannot engage in conduct which is, you know, destructive or defeating or contrary to the tenets of the Constitution, and essentially, you know, stand up to the New World Order elements within the military who are loyal to the New World, group, and you know, I've heard this for years. I remember 15 years or so ago, Al Bielek in some of his talks had mentioned that Preston Nichols, who besides his role in the Montauk Project and all that, also has had a role with Air Force intelligence, probably to this day. And he had reported to Al from time to time that there was groups within the military who were not going to go along with the New World Order. And that he reported at the time that there was faction fighting within the military of the pro-New World Order element and the pro-Constitution, pro-America element. Now, I never really expected, quote, you know, the good guys in the military to save us. I don't think there's enough of them. However, they could play a role if you can see how desperate the Illuminati is getting. If the Illuminati, you know, wants to go for broke, it would be very helpful if the guys in the military who can see the light, not comply. I just read a story that actually was posted back in June or July of this year, but it has to do with a an Army guy who had been deployed to either Iraq or Afghanistan once, and he was supposed to go back, and he just flat out refused to comply. You know, whatever it takes, he's going to go to. He's going to, he said, you know, it's an illegal war. I think he might, I don't know if he made the case that Obama, you know, is a fraudulent commander-in-chief or not. I can't remember that aspect of the story. But I like what the guy had to say, because this is what I had been writing about back in 2003, you know, when 2002, in fact, you know, when they first started the invasion of first Afghanistan and then Iraq, and I created some pages that specifically was addressing, you know, people who were going in the military or who were in the military. And I said just that, you know, you just can't be part of a Nazi killing machine, you know, and you just can't go to Iraq and you know, take a ton truck and drive over a little 5-year-old boy because a drill instructor back at Paris Island told you if anyone was, you know, is near the truck or under the truck, you can't stop, just roll over them. And if a, you know, a 13-year-old girl approaches you in your truck and she gets within, you know, I don't know, 30 feet of the truck, you're under orders to just blow a hole in her head, you know? I mean, just because you're told to do this by some drill instructor doesn't mean you're required to commit murder. You got to use your brains, and you got to use your conscience and your sense of proportion. And I sort of hope that enough people in the military will see the light and simply not comply. I mean, I'm very concerned about the military now, because with this forced vaccination, we're going to have a lot of people who are going to be crippled, I'm afraid. Who knows how many are going to wind up dead?
Yeah, exactly.
This is very disturbing that they're doing it so quickly. As you can see, they tried to launch this crazy juggernaut to get everyone in this country vaccinated, and I mean, we're still not through that. We're just in the beginning phase of that, but you can see a lot of people aren't going to go along with it. At least it looks to me at least 50% of the population is saying no way, and it might be more than that, but I'm...
Yeah, you know, I heard a broadcast today, a news broadcast, mainstream, where they're saying that this swine flu epidemic is going to be worse than the SARS epidemic. Now, you know what a farce the SARS thing was.
Yeah.
They're just making these statements out of, with no scientific foundation. Or...
Right. There is no scientific foundation. What they're doing is they're making the statement to those parts of the, of the public who are simply unaware of the truths of the eugenics agenda, of the poison that vaccine is, and of the liars and the fifth columnists and traitors who are making these statements. Kathleen Sebelius, I started to write an article on October 7th. I just got the first paragraph or two. So many other things cascaded one after another. I never did get to finish it, but she was, if you remember, they sort of started this nationwide vaccination around October 5. That's when, all the vaccines arrived in L.A. and other major cities, so they started vaccinating around that date. And by October 7th, this woman, this Secretary of Health and Human Services, is saying, oh, it's perfectly safe. There's nothing to be concerned about. This is as safe as the regular flu, and just making one false statements after another. And what I said in my little paragraph that I did pen that day is that when your child dies or is, in a wheelchair for the remainder of his or her life, or your father or your grandfather, your grandmother, your mother, or you or your spouse either die or are crippled with a severe vaccine-induced disease, what are you going to do? Send a letter or a telegram to Kathleen Sebelius and say, hey, you said it was safe. Because that's all you can do. Because you can't sue anybody because they already put all the laws in place to give them complete immunity from any liability. You can't sue the manufacturer. You can't sue the guy who put the vaccine in you, the school principal who told your kid you have to get it, or the health department people who said it's,
Yeah, well, they've basically given themselves an out regarding civil suits, but this is a criminal act.
Oh, yeah.
I would suspect that they weren't slick enough to put the laws into effect to exonerate them from committing crimes, which, when proven, will, not to mention, we've got to deal with this issue of all the illegal aliens in the administration. This is insanity, and in Congress.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just a handful of people.
No.
And I would like to mention the bribery, too, because this has been coming out in the news, and all this misdirection is intended to obfuscate what's going on in terms of the financial crimes. And, you've got 41 through 44 all up facing some charges pretty soon. And this is certainly not what they expected, and probably some disclosures about 9/11. And then let me just add one more thing. As another diversion, they're creating these earthquakes and tsunamis all over the place, to keep people preoccupied. And they don't care if they murder people, because it just creates a lot of fear and a lot of drama. And people go into that.
Yeah, we mentioned that last night. But anyway, just to get back to to wrap up on the notion of what should be on the top of anyone's mind now, until this latest wave of insanity passes, is if you're hearing these words and you haven't gotten a vaccine yet, don't get it. It's a poison. It's a bioengineered poison. And don't allow children to get it. And there are vaccine exemptions allowed in every state of the union, except maybe now in Massachusetts or Maine. They have a couple Gestapo wannabes there. One of the governor in Maine, and the other the head of the Senate. But more than that, though, they've gone through another. They've got another law there in Massachusetts that's coming up. So Massachusetts and Maine apparently have, in the last just a few weeks, have joined the Fourth Reich. So that's no longer part of America. Now that's part of Nazi America. So you might not be able to, you might have to leave that state to avoid the mandatory vaccine nonsense. But in most other states, the Constitution is still in place, and you should not get this vaccine. And they will, of course, I'm just guessing at this point. I think what will happen is that if they try the scenario of actually creating roadblocks and trying to vaccinate people in their cars, a few things will happen. First, the word will get out quickly. If not on the radio, on mainstream, you'll hear about it on the internet. The first thing people will probably do is simply stop traveling on those areas, those roads, highways, corridors where they're setting up roadblocks. So there's not going to be a whole lot of traffic going there. That's the first thing that's going to happen. But if they were foolish enough to try to intensify this and, you know, do it in cities and so forth and so on, well, first, the same thing would happen. People would just stop traveling in their cars. That's the most logical thing. So you have a lot of people standing around with needles and no one to get a shot. So I think it would tend to fall apart right there, because a lot of people are aware of the dangers now of the vaccine. And certainly the other thing that would happen is that when they create a roadblock like that, these people, in talking about the projection of how many miles this, No. People aren't going to patiently wait in the car to come up to Checkpoint Charlie to either get their shot or be put on a bus to take off to FEMA camp. Rational people don't do that. What would you normally do, Don? Would you just wait your turn in line? Or would you, you know, if you could, if you weren't corralled in, particularly if you're in a city in environment, you're not on a highway, you can do a U-ey. You can drive over the Esplanade, you can drive on the sidewalk, you can do lots of things, but you're not going to stay in line if you don't want that vaccine. And, you know, you're not crazy about being hauled off to a FEMA camp. So that's the other thing that would ensue if they actually were crazy enough to try this roadblock scenario. Now, I'm quite sure they practice this, just like the gal who talked about it, that Army gal who put up a YouTube video, I'm guessing, was it 2-3 weeks ago or so? It seemed to me it was like mid-September. I posted it on my site. The same day it came out, I believe, somebody sent it to me. So I'm quite sure they had these rehearsals, but I don't really believe it's likely they're going to follow through with this, because I see the things I just mentioned unfolding. People would not get, and now if everyone stopped driving in their cars, commerce, everything comes to a halt. And like I said, they're going to have these roadblocks and no one's going to be there. So it'll tend to cave there. And I think if it came down to a situation whereby they actually started to force people or put them on a bus, I think you'd start seeing vigilantism start to spring up. I think groups of civilians would start getting together and taking out those sort of places that were doing that. Because, I mean, how much more in-your-face treason can you get than that? So I just don't think that scenario is going to unfold. But we won't know until, let's say, we get through the end of December. Well, we'll see, but I just don't have the feeling it's not going to fly. So I think our main concern is not to voluntarily take the vaccine.
Ken, I want to come back to something that we were talking about a few moments ago. You had made a comment, regarding the military and the types of orders, you know, that are being given out. Use the tank explanation or description. And I got an IM for me, first sergeant in the U.S. Marine Corps, who, first of all, I answered back on your behalf and basically said that, you do have a military background. You served in Vietnam and you know what you were told to do.
That's right.
He's saying that, he wouldn't allow that. He's got 16 companies of Marines, and he would not, absolutely not let that happen. If he found out, that his drill instructors were teaching something like that, you know, they'd be out of there. We're not saying all the instructors are bad. That's not what we're saying, but this was taught in certain periods of time, you know. This is also a Marine that served in Vietnam himself.
Right. Let's be clear. I thought it came across, but let me emphasize it. I am a veteran of the Vietnam era. I volunteered. I wasn't drafted. I went in willingly, and I did fine in the service. I could have stayed in. I was offered money, and I got along with people. I was well liked. I had a good job, and I could have stayed in. I wanted to go to school, so I got out. For that reason, otherwise I probably would have stayed in. So I'm definitely a supporter of military active, retired, and vets of this country. I'm one of them. I was an enlisted man, I'm as American as you can get. I'm apple pie American as you can get. And I've mentioned in other shows that when I was younger, you know, I went in right after high school. I believed everything they told me. You know, at the time, I remember Johnson was president, Dean Rusk, Secretary of State, talking about the domino theory of Vietnam goes and Cambodia, Laos, Thailand, the whole Southeast Asia is going to go, and then Korea. I mean, you know, it sounded logical to me. What did I know about the New World Order at 18 years old? I thought everything was on the level. So I went along with the program. I thought it was all legit. It's just that after you're actually there, particularly when you're in a environment where people are dying, you can see the theory and the actuality don't quite work out. I started to have some grave doubts in some areas, but I, no way did I think at all that the U.S. was there in the interest of making money, and that all wars in the 20th century were contrived into existence in order to make money. I didn't know about the Illuminati, New World. I didn't know any of that. I believed what they taught us in school. You know, we're the good guys of the world. America is the defenders of freedom. I believed all that. Who wouldn't? Because that's what you're taught from the time you're a child, you know, coming up. It all seemed straight and legit to me. So, no, we're not. What I'm saying is that in today's military, a lot of guys are there, and they don't want to go along with the New World Order. A lot of guys in Iraq and Vietnam don't want to be there. They don't want to be killing anybody. They don't want to be, you know, taking a chance on losing their life from a roadside bomb, et cetera. They sort of know what's going on. Probably the majority know what's going on. They realize it's all contrived. 9/11 was an inside job, but they're in the military. So what do you do? So that is the question. I know what I would do, knowing what I know, if I was, you know, in a position where I had to particularly kill civilians, I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it. I'm just not going to go there. And what I'm saying is that down the road, as these controllers ratchet up their desperation, because they're definitely desperate, even though they want us to think, you know, it's a done deal, slam dunk for the New World Order. I don't think so, only because so much of the planet is awakening to the reality of who these controllers are and what the game plan is. Namely, you know, they want to wipe out 85-90% of the world population. A lot of people know that now. I wrote that up in 1996 when I put my first overview synopsis together of the New World Order. And where did I learn it? I learned it from Bill Cooper's book, Behold the Pale Horse. So I just reiterated it. And, you know, in the first couple of years I had my website up, I had a lot of people ask me, 85%, are you crazy? You know, and I said, no, that's the number. Their idea of a maximum population on Earth is 500 million. Now you see that number repeated everywhere. I mean, it's accepted knowledge now.
And if you travel anywhere around the world, you see all the open space that exists and what a hoax this is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh,
you throw it in with global warming and and the unemployment statistics and the lies about how the economy is doing well and the stock market is doing well. I mean, it's just one lie after another.
Yeah.
In regard to this, too, I have to say, you know, on behalf of those in the military, you know, they took an oath, and they're adhering to their oath, and their oath doesn't really permit them to question the corruption that's going on. They see it, but they're not in a position. They're in the minority, or they're forced into situations where they're not really able to stand up for their rights.
It's not easy.
It's a catch-22 situation.
Oh,
really,
yeah, it's definitely catch-22. But ultimately, you know, following World War II, the Nuremberg trials and all that, set up a code of conduct that military people around the world, you are not required to commit crimes based on orders.
Isn't that why they created Blackwater? And why they pay?
Well, you're right. I mean, it's easier to get mercenaries who are there for, you know, soldier of fortune types, who are there for the bucks, who have no, you know, morality about or no constitutional fidelity, etc. Sure, yeah, of course, that's obviously why they wanted to create civilian mercenary forces, of course. But anyway, just getting back to our own people. It's necessary to, and that's what I'm saying. I just hope that it's, you know, higher people higher up in the chain of command who are as staunchly has their feet embedded in the Constitution as the fellow who just sent that IM there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of numbers. If enough people in the military can hold their ground in terms of not engaging in any conduct that's a violation of the Constitution.
Well, and, you know, not to interrupt you, but this thought just entered my mind, and I think I should say it. They're upholding their oath to whom? Somebody who's masquerading as a U.S. citizen who has not proven and cannot prove they are?
Yes, if there ever was a time in history that you people in the military have an out, this is it. The man who's calling himself the President of the United States is an illegal alien. He has no legal authority or right to be the President of the United States. He's there as an imposter, a criminal imposter. He was appointed the state senator and then U.S. Senator fraudulently, also a criminal act. I mean, the guy's a criminal already. Forget what he may have done other than, or is going to do, or the fact that he's a minion of, you know, of the Rockefeller Rothschilds. Forget that for the moment. He's just has engaged in a number of crimes already that he should be arrested and indicted for. So, yeah, there's already some people who filed some lawsuits saying, I'm not following that guy because he's not the legitimate commander-in-chief, which is true.
Yeah, I mean, just ask yourself the question, you know, are you going to take orders from somebody who's not an American?
Yeah, he's an Indonesian national. Yeah. That's where he was born.
Yeah.
And his real name is Barry Sotoro.
I think I've proven that in my research, in my articles, right?
Yep. And everyone, you know, in the military needs to keep that in mind. The commander-in-chief is a imposter.
And these guys know this. The guys calling the shots know that this has been exposed.
Mm-hmm.
They know it.
Right.
Why do they listen to this show? Why do they monitor our websites? Why do they eavesdrop on our email and phone calls?
Right.
Why do they do that? You know, and everybody knows the answer to that question. The problem is most people don't have the guts to say it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, just to finish up this point, it's a very good point. If enough people in the military talk among themselves and just make a determination, we're not going along with the New World Order. If enough guys in the military do that, they're not going to be able to use the U.S. military for domestic treason, subversion, and which is why I said, you know, I'm very concerned about these guys getting these shots, because maybe the game plan is to cripple the U.S. military with these shots in much the same way they crippled a certain large number of Gulf War I troops.
Yeah.
See how that squalene garbage would work.
And while this is going on, let's remind the listeners that these guys have been trying to bring in international mercenaries, like in Hardin, Montana, to run a prison.
Yeah.
And take over a town's police force. Mm-hmm. Actually, they don't even have a police force because they don't need one. Mm-hmm. You know, this is how coups are done.
Yep.
And we wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't the truth, number one. I've also gotten a message that there are two lawsuits in California against Obama. One, of course, is the Orly Tate lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
In Santa Ana, U.S. District Court, Central Division in California.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, well, I know there was one in Georgia. I think that one might have been dismissed or disqualified on the basis of some bogus documents, not signed and stuff like that.
Mm.
I mean, you know, this stuff gets so crazy. You would think that would be the most important lawsuit somebody would ever file, mm-hmm. and they didn't sign it.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, very strange.
But these are some of the things that are going on. I mean, these are worth bringing up again because.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That, I'm glad we are talking about this because I like to remind particularly military people who are hearing this is that there are. A large number of underground bases in North America. Actually, there's underground bases around the world, but there's a minimum of 133 in just the United States. That's not counting Canada or Mexico, just the United States, because one of the guys who worked on them, Phil Schneider, said in 1995 that there was 133 as of that date. They've been building more since that time. And a number of these bases, some of these bases are really huge, anywhere from 2 to 7 miles below the surface of the earth, and they can be, you know, as few as 3 or 4 levels, down to 15 or 20 levels. I mean, it's amazing how huge these things can be.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, there are billeted, though, here in North America, and have been, excuse me, for a long time. Have been both large numbers of Russian and Chinese troops. And of course, when they, the plan is when they pull off their martial law routine, a large number of the people who will be wearing these blue UN hats will not be American military guys. They'll be Russian,
mm-hmm.
particularly Chinese. I mean, the Chinese army has a huge number. It's the biggest. It has to be the biggest army in the world. There's just no doubt about it. And you know, they're here. I don't know whether you know people know it, but they're Panama Canal. They're in the Caribbean. I mean, there's a lot of Chinese troops both in the country and around the country, and there's a number of ports like Long Beach, California, that are controlled by the Republic of China's army.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Communist Party. The army literally is the people who are of the Chinese army. Literally are the authority that's in control of American ports like Long Beach.
Oh, I remember, was it 1990 or 91 when they gave them a 25-year lease of that port? Mm. I mean, that's insane.
It is insane.
And they talk about national security, and that's it was shortly, well, this was later on when Bush took office. They were trying to, they announced that they were going to turn over 6 ports to a Saudi Arabian company.
Yes.
And they were going to be inspecting shipments coming in through, I want to say, the Bahamas. And they were going to have a Philippine company manufacture and run this sensory equipment that was going to look for nuclear weapons and all that. You remember that?
Yes.
And Hutchison Whampoa was the company that was going to be supervising all of this. Mm-hmm. And then here you find out Pilgrim Investments is a big investor. And, of course, that's George H.W. Bush and the Queen of England.
Yes.
So you have all that corruption going on behind the scenes, and it wasn't 6 ports, as announced. It was 29 ports.
Wow.
All the way down the East Coast from the north end of the Atlantic, mm-hmm. swinging around almost to Texas, mm-hmm. by the Gulf of Mexico. Mm-hmm. 29 ports.
Oh, man.
I mean, you want to talk about a Nazi takeover of this country?
Yeah. I mean, I know. If these facts were presented, let's say, in a documentary and shown in movie theaters across the country, you know, these people in Congress, you know, they would literally be tarred and feathered, and you know.
Sure, and let's get this clear: Hutchison Whampoa is run and owned by Li Ka-shing from the Chinese Li family.
The Li family. Right, is the major Illuminati family of China. Yeah, it's of course people don't know, and they're just presuming that the government is protecting our interests. They're not. They're in league with the New World Order. They're fifth columnists. They are accommodating the subversion of this country. They are accommodating the infiltration of Chinese, Russian troops, German Air Force, etc., into this country.
And they're doing it under the guise of business, corporate business,
yeah,
you know,
right.
International commerce.
Right.
The Uniform Commercial Code. I mean, it stinks to high heaven what they're doing. It's so obvious what they're doing.
Right. So anyway, I just hope that it's a growing cadre within all the branches of the military. The future of this country is swinging in the balance. This is not a movie. This is not fiction. This betrayal is real, and we are in the 11th hour. I mean, we're approaching midnight here, and I don't feel it's a done deal, although the forces, you know, the New World Order forces want us to think that. So there's, you know, it's like an inevitable event. I don't believe that's the case, but we're certainly not in any, let's say, safe waters. No way.
No, and at the same time, Ken, I feel that there's a lot of people, especially now in the alternative media, who are minions put there to put out this message of doom and gloom. Well, you know, it's a lost cause. They've succeeded.
Yeah, I agree with you. Right, right.
You know, you never give up. You never quit.
Exactly.
You know, I haven't heard the fat lady sing yet.
Yeah, and I do rail against doom and in gloomers for just that reason. It's okay to talk about the facts. You need to know the facts. But there is this big tendency for a lot of people to find out the facts and say, oh man, escape is the first thing that occurs to most people. However, the New World Order is throughout the world, and it's going to be really hard to find a place to escape that you're not going to run into the same situation we're going to run into here. Now, it's true, the emphasis is on destroying the United States first. The presumption is cause the collapse of the constitutional government, create a pretext for martial law, kill off a bunch of people using vaccines, such as the swine flu. Probably they have other disease vectors they plan to use after people start getting ill from, let's say, the vaccine. It's probably going to be a 1-2-3 punch. And then if they go the martial law routine, then they're going to start going the FEMA camp routine. And people who wind up in those camps are going to be exterminated. They are extermination camps. There's crematoriums built in a lot of those camps. That's not for burning the garbage. There's these coffins that are being sent everywhere, you know, these FEMA coffins. They're stacking them up. They're planning on a lot of people dying. And if we go to the martial law thing, then what's going to happen is they're going to be a lot of chaos, particularly people in city areas are going to be attacked by gang types. At least that's the scenario that's painted. It might not work out that way.
Well, you know, too, and they also condition us to imagine or to accept that these things are going to happen because movies like Red Dawn. And,
yeah, I agree with you. I was going to go there. So I'm both laying out their scenario at the same time. I was gonna get to this place that if enough of us collectively decide that, you know, we're not going to go nuts. I don't believe there are so many gangs that even though undoubtedly a lot of them have been trained and funded and armed by the CIA, et cetera.
Well, what are the gangs going to do different from what they're already doing?
Well, I was about to say that I think the plan is to use gangs to create a helter-skelter Mad Max scenario and to, let's say, perhaps help along the martial law pretext. But frankly, I'm not sure all this is going to fly because I think a lot of people are just going to hold their ground. They're not going to collectively go nuts. A lot of people, the consciousness, you know, this is this 100th monkey effect. The consciousness kind of spreads virally, and if you know that you're being manipulated, people do the opposite of what's expected of them so as not to cooperate with the manipulation. And I have the feeling that may well happen within our own military, hopefully within the ranks of police. I'm a little bit concerned about the police because they've been funded, pulled in, given the black uniforms, given the training, the tasers, the whole nine yards, essentially to make them New World Order goons. And a lot of them, you know, wear that mantle proudly and have no problem behaving like a goon. And I'm hoping there still are enough cops who still have a mind and a conscience and will not go down that route. It's going to be interesting to see what shakes out. But I think if it gets really, really dicey, enough people in this country are armed, they're going to be prepared to keep law and order, and they're not going to allow, I don't believe, anyway, I could be wrong, but I just don't believe people are going to allow a Stalin-era type roundup of people to be just taken off to gulags or camps and never be heard of again. I don't think it's going to fly. This isn't Germany or Russia of the 1930s and 40s, and because of the internet, because so many people know who's doing what, if the minions, if the police and the military and the FEMA and the Homeland Security, if they don't function as Nazis on behalf of the Illuminati planners, well, then the game's over. I mean, Bill Clinton or George Bush or Barack Obama or any of their Cheney or any of these guys who plan all these events or are the puppets who follow the marching orders of planners like the Rockefellers, et cetera. If the minions don't follow through, there is going to be no New World Order takeover. We got to remember that.
Well, yeah, and you know, they also have a problem because they have been really fighting to prevent disclosure, and that's the real big secret, really. Regardless of what most people want to say or how they want to judge things, that's behind this whole thing. They're trying to protect their own skin as far as letting it out. Some of them would like to let it out, but they're afraid that they're going to be taken out. And it shows their cowardice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they have to have other people do the killing for them under the guise of, saving democracy and preserving our freedom when from our perspective, we're here witnessing what they're trying to do to take it away. But it's all done under fraudulent terms, fraudulent means, because this guy's not legit. And so the people he's appointed are not legit.
Absolutely.
You know, how much simpler can we say it?
And to just look at people and what, look at a guy like Ronnie Man, look at this record, see what he is.
Okay, Ken, I don't know if you can hear me. We are experiencing jitter on this call like I've never seen it before. Evidently, the truth hurts.
Okay, I hear fine, so you tell me you can hear me.
Yeah, you're breaking up. I don't know if where this is coming from. Definitely, our sample rate has changed drastically. Although Seth says we still sound good, I gotta tell you, it's breaking up in my end. You sound like the guy that is talking on a cell phone in between towers, and he's out of range. So, we're having trouble on your end, I think. So. From what? Ken, I can't understand a word you're saying. so we can try to reconnect if you want. And if you would hang up, I'll reconnect with you. I don't know if you can. Okay. Wow, that's an interesting sound there. If you folks could see what this is doing. When we get to the truth, that's what happens. Always. It never fails. Absolutely never fails. Okay, we're bringing our guest back in. right here, and you can probably hear the ring. There. Okay, I think we still got some. If you've got any programs you can close, try doing that.
Everything is closed, Skype.
Okay, Ken, you're not even getting full consonants out, let alone full syllables. So, I don't know. We'll probably have to close the show out. or we could bring you in by phone. I have to laugh. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you here. I'll send this information to Seth, and we'll see if he can give you one more chance here before we close the show out. Okay, so give us a moment, and we'll be bringing you in that way. So I'm going to ask you once again to disconnect, okay. and we'll bring you back in through an alternative method here. Okay. Oop. I got to make sure I give it to Seth. Okay. All right. And okay, Seth, we're going to do it this way. So, Ken, if you can disconnect, we'll get back on. So, this happens sometimes. Okay. I wish I could say what Ken was trying to say there, but I couldn't make out a word, and I would have to venture to guess that neither could the listening audience. Okay. While we're trying to get him on, let me just let you know that we've got a few more shows this week. And tomorrow night, we have Burke Elder Hale III on. We're going to be talking about this flu pandemic stuff and from a different perspective. Also, on Thursday, we've got former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. And Jim Murray on Friday. And I hear that Ken is back with us now. Can you hear me,
yes,
Ken?
I'm back. I'm back, Don.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay, you're back. All right. A little different sound.
Yeah, a little different sound, but...
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So, anyway, if you can hear me clearly, I'll just finish up the point I was... making about if enough people simply don't cooperate with the New World Order game plan, it won't go down. And this is a very important point to consider. It's necessary to hold one's ground and to do the right thing, to do the moral thing and to do the constitutional thing. And if enough people who are in the military, in the police, or in any agency of the government does that, then, you know, we're going to save this republic. Despite all the foreign troops that are in North America, despite all the ports that are controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, despite all the sellouts we've experienced to date, ultimately it could collapse and will collapse if enough people simply don't comply. And I mentioned earlier that there's a story I'm going to put up about a guy, an army man, who simply refused to go back to Afghanistan. And the whole point of his story was that when you're being asked to do something that's illegal, that's immoral, etc., you simply don't comply. You just don't do it. Next year, 2010, we have the official census coming up. They do a census every 10 years. And if you remember, a couple months ago, we had these incidents where these ACORN people were going around claiming they were authorized by the Census Bureau
mm-hmm.
to collect to collect data. And at the time, I had said on one of your shows, I says, don't comply. If you have private property, you put no trespassing signs on the four corners of your property, and you make it clear to anyone who steps on your property that you're trespassing, and you take appropriate action. And then, since Acorn, you know, run into a lot of hot water in the last month or so, that whole issue of them doing that apparently has evaporated, but we'll have the actual census coming up, in which you'll have census takers. Now, what they're going to try to do this time around, with even greater coercion than they did last time around, and they were pretty arrogant and bold in 2000, is that they're going to start a campaign, probably in November, December, I'm just guessing, but prior to actually starting the census, in which they're going to try to frighten people into thinking that they're going to be fined and or arrested if they don't give all the information the census takers demands of them. And they tried that somewhat in 2000. There was a lot of internet stories, there was a lot of stories on the mainstream news about $5,000 fines for not providing census information and all that. The only thing you're required to do is simply tell the census taker how many adults live in the house. That's it. You don't have to give your name and your background and who your relatives are and how many kids you got and their Social Security numbers and their birth dates and where you're working and how much money you got in the bank and these other 200 or 300 questions they're going to have for you. You don't have to give them any of that, and you don't give them any of that. I'm going to do an article about this, but I'm going to tell people what you do is you tell those census takers, or you print out exactly what it says in the Constitution about collecting census data, exactly what the law says is required, you just have to tell how many adults are in the house. And that's the limit of the census taking by law. The rest of it is going to be made up administrative stuff, which they're rather fond of, but it has no legal footing. I had originally planned on doing a story, telling you a wonderful story of archaeological artifacts in South America referred to as the Ica Stones. I was going to spend most of the time today talking about that story, but we got off on this other area, and I never got to it, so I might postpone it. But it's a wonderful story, and because the last time we chatted yesterday, we talked about the reptilians, I sort of wanted to go into the story more of the hidden history of the Earth. The Earth and man's participation in life as a Homo sapien goes back far longer than what conventional history allows. And there's been many civilizations, humanoid, human-like civilizations that have existed on Earth for millions of years. Some of them have left Earth and gone to other planetary systems, but they've left a lot of archaeological clues in their wake. So it's really a very inspiring story to know that man has been here a long time on Earth. So I fully expect us to continue to stay here a long time, and the dark clouds that are forming over us now will not last. The day will come when the sky will clear, just as, you know, chemtrails have seemed to, not everywhere, I realize some people are really getting hit hard, but at least in this area, you know, we're chemtrail free almost every day. I saw a little bit of attempt about a week or so ago, but for the most part, we're chemtrail free here, and we got real white clouds and real blue skies most of the time, and so it will be with the New World Order. The day will come when the skies will clear, and these individuals will not be in positions of power. Hopefully, they'll be incarcerated, all of them. Cheney, Rumsfeld, Bush, the whole lot. But the day will come, I feel, that we'll, this will all be a dark chapter in America's life, and we'll break into a new spring and a new dawn. That's why it's important for everyone to do the right thing, to always keep that in mind, to stick to the Constitution, and to do nothing to betray our... Because
well, Ken, you're not going to believe this. You were talking, and again, our connection got really crazy. I couldn't make out one word you said, but I know you were doing a great job.
This is amazing.
And I'm not even sure if you talk, if I'm going to understand your response.
Wow.
So I think it's time for us to call it a night. I think you're coming through okay on the main line. It's just the return back to me is
okay.
Is unintelligible.
All right, I understand.
I think we had a lot of truth come out tonight, and I think it upset some people. So
that could well be. Yeah.
I want to thank you for being on the show. I can't even comment on what you said. I can only comment on what's happening with our VoIP here. So
okay.
I know you're going to be on again, and I want to thank you for your comments tonight. And hopefully everybody understood the point you were making. We've got you scheduled for the 22nd of this month. So if any of you Intel people want to give it another shot, by all means, check us out. Okay. And please visit Ken's website, educate-yourself.org. And, it's a wonderful repository of information about a lot of different topics. Ken, I wish you the best. Hopefully you can hear me okay. And,
yes.
I look forward to your next appearance on Evident Footprints.
Right.
I think you said thank you. So, all right. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our guest Ken Adachi. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio for carrying this program as well. We're heard around the world. Thanks to you folks. Special thanks also go out to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound. And I hope your side's not hurting from from the laughter of trying to figure out what Ken was saying. Also, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night when our special guest will be Burke Elder Hale III. And in the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.